right, turn your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. If you don't have your Bibles with you this morning, you can look in the middle of our bulletin and you'll see the passage of Scripture that we'll be discussing. All right. Ephesians chapter 3. We are going to start in verse 14 of Ephesians chapter 3. Okay. It says in 14, verse 14, it says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named, that he should grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." You know, as we continue our study through the book of Ephesians, we now come to another time that the Apostle Paul prays for the people. This is the second time we see Paul offer prayers for the people in just a short letter. Now, this shows the importance that should be given to prayer. But Paul also reveals why prayer is so beneficial to us. Look at verse 16, and it says, "that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory." And then in verse 20, it says, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." You see, the reason prayer is so beneficial to us is because it gives us access to all of God's spiritual resources. And God's spiritual resources are unlimited. His resources are beyond measure. When a hurricane hit South Florida, Norena's home was severely damaged. The elderly woman received an insurance settlement, and the repair work began. However, when the money ran out, so did the contractor, leaving an unfinished house with no electricity. Norena had been living without power ever since Hurricane Andrew. For more than 15 years, Norena had been living in a dark house with no heat, no air conditioning, and not a single hot bath or shower. Now, that would be rough. She got by with extension cords running into the house, plugged into a tiny refrigerator and a cooktop, and a small lamp or two in the front of the house. Acting on a tip, the mayor of Miami-Dade finally got involved. A few hours of work by an electrical contractor, Kent Crook, restored power to the house. Norena planned to let the water get really hot and then take her first bubble bath in more than a decade and a half. She said, "It's hard to describe having electricity come on. To turn the switch on. She said, "It's overwhelming." You see, she was connected to the power and it was overwhelming to her. And we need to understand that as we are connected to the power of God, it will be overwhelming and it will produce great things in our lives. So many times we struggle in our spiritual walk with God because we are not connected to his powerful resources that give us the spiritual energy we need to do His will. That's what we need to understand. Prayer is so beneficial because it gives us access to the powerful resources of God that give us the spiritual energy to do His will. And when God gives us the spiritual, His spiritual resources, according to His riches and glory, doing His will goes from drudgery to joy. That's what we need to see. We need to see that the Christian life is not meant to be lived in drudgery, having to be dragged to do what God wants us to do. But it should be done with joy in our hearts because we have God's rich resources flowing in us and through us, and that power that comes from it gives us the energy to do God's will with joy. Jesus said in John 15, 9 through 11, that His love abides in you. You will keep His commandments, and His joy will remain in you, and your joy will be full. Now understand something. This is what Jesus wanted for you. He wanted His love to abide in you so much that keeping His commandments would be a joy. That's what He wants you to understand. This is exactly what Paul petitions God for in this passage before us today in Ephesians. Paul's prayer is a petition to God for those very things. Because he knows these are the things God makes His powerful resources available for. So today I want us to take a look at this passage and see what God makes available to us according to His riches in glory. Look at verse 16 again. It says, "And that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love." Now, the first thing I want you to understand is God's riches are available for our inner strength and stability. God's riches are available to you for inner strength and stability. Now, what Paul is asking for is that we would be made mighty with power through God's Holy Spirit. That's what he's saying here. Now, the inner man described is the center of our spiritual and psychological life. It's our heart. It's our motives. It's our way of thinking. It affects our emotions. It really is our inner being. It's all that and more that is wrapped up in our heart, in our inner being. This is what God wants to make strong. This is what He reserves His resources for. The inner man described here is the center of our spiritual and psychological life. So Paul prays that through the Holy Spirit working in us, that we would be mighty in inner strength. It is this strength that will motivate you to do God's will with joy. Now, let me ask you a question. Are you struggling with doing God's will? Are you struggling with it? Are you struggling to do God's will? Are you struggling to do what you know is right? Now, I want you to know something. There's power available to you through the Spirit of God so that that struggle is made to joy. So that struggle is made to joy. It may be something as simple as coming to church. You may be struggling with that. It may be something more personal, like bitterness towards another. It may be an addiction to something. It may be letting go of your goals to surrender to God's goals for your life. Understand, all these things are spiritual struggles, But all these things can be overcome by God's power working in you. That's what His Holy Spirit is available for. And all His spiritual resources. To strengthen your inner man. To strengthen you in your heart. So these struggles that you are facing are no longer struggles. So that those struggles to do God's will turn into joy because God's Spirit is working in you. His power is being displayed in your life. And so no longer do you look at doing God's will as drudgery, but as something that you take joy in doing. I hope we understand this. This is the key to the Christian life. God never intended for us to live the Christian life in drudgery, in misery. Jesus said that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. That's why Jesus dwells in you. That's why His Holy Spirit dwells in you. So that these things are not a struggle for you. That you can have this inner strength to overcome these things and be able to do God's will and it be a joy to you. Now you may say, well, I have asked God to help me I'm still struggling. Well, you can have victory over all these things, areas, and more if you will ask God to strengthen you by His Spirit. Okay? Now, if you're still struggling, there are two more riches available to help that problem. And I want us to look at those. Now, look at verse 17. It says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Now, the presence of Christ in your heart through faith is something else you need to ask for. So you're struggling with something that you know God wants you to do or not do, and you're having trouble overcoming it. Okay? So you first thing you do is you ask the Lord by His Holy Spirit to give you the strength that you need to do this thing, to overcome this. Okay, and to do His will. Then you ask that His presence would be in your heart and that He would give you the faith that you need to experience His presence in your life. You understand, faith is something that God gives as well. That is a spiritual spiritual resource. Okay, that's not something you drum up. Faith is not something that you drum up by your self-determination. Understand that. Faith is a gift that God gives to those who ask for it. So you need to ask God to give you the faith to feel His presence in your life and His working to strengthen you in your heart. That's what it's all about. So that this doesn't become a drudgery for you. Doing God's will. It shouldn't be. It's never was intended to be. It's intended that you walk with God and with joy. With joy. But we must ask God for His inner strength and ask Him to give us the faith to feel His presence in our lives. Understand, inner strength is received by faith. Inner strength is received by faith. All the resources of God are received by faith. So if you are struggling with doing God's will, ask God to increase your faith and make Christ's presence known in your heart. Now understand, I am not talking about self-determination. I am not talking about self-determination. And I know that this is a doctrine that is taught out there, but if you determine to think good things will happen to you. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about you even pulling yourself up by your bootstraps and do what's right. I've heard that preached. That's not what I'm talking about either. I'm talking about you totally relying on God's power and His presence in your life to do what He wants you to do. That's what I'm talking about. That's what we need. That's what each and every one of us needs. And that is exactly what God has available for you. All those that put their trust in Jesus Christ have His Spirit available to them so that He will give them inner strength and faith to feel the presence of Jesus Christ. But there's also a second thing here that helps us to be strong and stable. It is His love, His stabilizing love. Look at what it says at the second part of 17. It says that you being rooted and grounded in love. If you are blown around by every temptation and unstable in your walk with God, ask that His love would abide in you, as it says in John 15, verses 9 and 10. This is very important. And this leads to my next point. In verses 18 and 19, it's going to describe the love of God a little bit for us and the experience we have with it. Because God's riches are available so we can experience His vast love for us. Now, experiencing the love of God is what makes walking with Him joyful. Let me repeat that. Experiencing the love of God is what makes walking with Him joyful. You know, the more I understand how much Jesus loves me, the more I want to do for Him, and the more I love doing His will. The more I experience His love, the more I want to do for Him, and the more my love grows for Him as well. You know, in John 3:16, we are told that God's love motivated Him to send His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to the earth so that He could be sacrificed on the cross and rise again, so that we could have everlasting life. Now, I'd say that is a great demonstration of God's love, that He would send His only begotten Son, Jesus, to die on the cross and rise again so that we could have everlasting life, so that we could have an eternal, loving relationship with Him forever and ever. That is the vastness of His love. That is the enormity of His love. That is love that passes knowledge. Love that passes knowledge. But it can be experienced in our lives. This love is enormous. It's vast beyond measure. Yet it can be experienced in our lives. That is awesome to think about. And that love turns burdens into joyful experiences. That love turns burdens into joyful experiences. Michaela, my daughter, has been applying for colleges. And as she applies for these colleges, I've been looking at the cost of these colleges. Some of you have probably experienced that. And after we had discussed these costs with Michaela and what we were going to need to do to get her through college, she got very sad. And Christy and I noticed that she was crying, and we asked, what was she sad about? Well, with tears in her eyes, she looked at me and said, Daddy, am I a burden to you? Daddy, am I a burden to you? I replied with all the strength in my soul that was exactly the opposite of what was true. that I would do whatever I had to do to help her accomplish God's will. And not only would I do it, but I would do it with joy. She is the exact opposite of a burden to me. Why? Why will I do whatever it takes to help her do God's will and do it with joy? One word, love. I love her. She loves me. And that love motivates me to take on burdens with joy. They're no longer burdens, actually. They're the opposite of a burden. Like I told her, I said, "You're the reason I get up in the morning." Isn't that true? If you love your children, if you love your wife, if you love your God, that's why you get up in the morning. Otherwise, you just give up. That's what I would do. I'd just throw in the towel and say, "Forget it." But I've got something motivating me. Love. And that love comes from an awesome God who's powerful, and His Spirit is dwelling inside of me. And He's making known this love to me. Every day He shows me how much He loves me. And as I ask Him for more knowledge of that love, I'm more motivated to do what He calls me to do. That's what it's all about. Amen. See, this is what I want us as a church. This is what I want us as a church to be displaying in our lives. Because my final point is this. God's riches are available so He can glorify His Son by displaying His power through us. When these attributes are in our lives, when we are strengthened in the inner man by the power of the Holy Spirit, when we are experiencing His love in our hearts, that will show and bring glory to Jesus Christ. It will flow out of us, and it will be a testimony to His glorious power. That's what we want to see. That's the purpose of the church. That's what we want to see in our lives. Some have said to me, "I can't be the example that I need to be." Well, let me tell you something. You're right. You can't. But Jesus can. And His power is available to you so that it can happen. Not by your might, but by God's might. Not because you have determination, but because of the love of Christ in you. And as you feel that love, a joyful experience starts to happen. And you start serving the Lord joyfully. And when people are serving the Lord joyfully, it really brings glory to God. That's when it brings glory to God. You know, if we're always dragging in the church, "Oh boy, I got to be here today. Oh, I got to go over to Sunday school. You know, I got to do this. I got to do that. Oh man, I can't wait to get out of here. Wish the preacher would stop talking." You know, all that stuff. Does that bring glory to God? No, of course not. But when we come in and we've got the love of Jesus abiding in us and it's showing as we love each other and we're happy to be here, well, when other people come in and see that, that brings glory to Jesus Christ. Isn't that what we want to do? Isn't that what we want to see in Beacon Church? A church that glorifies Jesus Christ? Well, that will happen as we ask Him for these things. That's what Paul prayed. He said, "Lord, please, will you please give them spiritual understanding in the first prayer? Enlighten them, Lord. Give them wisdom. And Father, will you please, by your Holy Spirit, strengthen them? Strengthen them inside their hearts. Strengthen them so that they can do your will with joy And Lord, will you please give them this full knowledge of your love so that they can experience the fullness of you, the fullness of God, and that that experience would make living for him a joy. That's what we want to pray. I hope we will pray that for each and every one of us. I hope you will go down the list of our attenders list, and I hope you will pray this prayer for each and every one of the people in our church, because that is what we need. That is the key to us glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's pray and ask the Lord to do just that right now.